Good evening.
Well, good evening.
Do you have any questions?
No, I was hoping someone would.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay. I did have something happen when I went for blood work. That I might just explain and you comment on it.
And do you want it recorded?
It's okay.
Okay.
I'm very hard to stick. I have little veins, so when I go for blood work, sometimes it's a problem. And it happened that Tony and I went together, my husband and I went together, and he was called in first. And you can't see who's in there, you know, who's in the room getting the blood work. But anyway, when he came out, he said, I had a hard time. She had to stick me four times. And he said, usually, you know, they get me on the first try. And maybe, oh, two or three people later, they call me in. And they directed me to sit in a certain seat. And I had no idea which technician he got. And I wasn't even thinking of that because I was watching my steps because of walking with the braces. And I sat in the chair, and a lady came over to me, and I said, I would like that other lady. But I didn't think those words. Those words just came out of me. And she said, well, sit over there. And she pointed to an empty chair. The lady that I pointed to, her back was to me, and she was working with another patient. And then when it came my turn, she had me sit in that particular chair. She got me on the first try. I didn't feel it at all. And when I left, I found out Tony told me which lady was the one that had worked on him to take his blood. And I just thought that was a strange thing because I didn't think those words. Those words just came out of my mouth. And it turned out that the first lady that I sat in her chair, that was the one who took four sticks before she got Tony. But it was the idea. I didn't think the words. The word just came out of me. But it avoided me from possibly going through the same thing he did.
And what, you just looking for me to comment on this?
Yes. It's not thinking the words, but they came out of my mouth, but evidently it was a good thing because that particular lady, I didn't even feel the needle.
How do you know when you're experiencing a tikkun of yours?
Intuition.
No, that's not how you know that you're experiencing tikkun.
Okay.
That's when you're asking for information. When you ask your intuition. Words coming out of your mouth without conscious thought, that's tikkun.
Okay. What's
your question now?
What was it correcting?
It was more what Tony was correcting.
Obviously
the individual was not yet real practiced in that area, and on a physical level, when you are well hydrated, you have less of a problem finding your veins. And as you get older, that becomes even more important, because the flexibility of the veins, you know, this word, these descriptions, hardening veins, hardening mm-hmm. arteries, these are actually true. The flexibility of the tube, referring to the artery, is less flexible as you age. That's
okay,
on a physical level.
He was fasting. He had a 12-hour fast. With me, I didn't have to be fasting. So,
you were more hydrated than he on a physical level. Mm-hmm. That's the explanation. On a spiritual level, he needed to experience this pain to balance the universe from that woman's soul and his soul from last lifetime.
Okay.
And you didn't need to experience that. And you have a very strong protection shield, as we have talked about from time to time over the years. And so that's why your words just flowed out of your mouth without your consciousness, to protect you from having to experience that pain, because it wasn't part of your tikkun. But
okay.
It was his. Is it clear?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I believe some people came on, so good evening. Does anybody have any questions?
I do. I have a question.
Go ahead, Brandy.
I wanted to know, when I make this contract to sell my hametz, do I have to do it in writing? Does it have to be in writing?
Yes, it has to be in writing, and it can be done on the internet. But essentially, the person who sells the chametz, what you do is appoint generally a rabbi or someone who's doing this for you. You're appointing him your agent, and the agent, he accepts your chametz as his. And then he has a written contract with the person that he's selling the chametz with. And that contract is in Hebrew, and it's signed by the child of Israel and the non-Jew. And he's transferring the chametz to that person for the whole of Passover. Which means that the astrological influence from Mars during this week, 8-day period, is his desire, the non-Jew's desire to receive is smaller than the Jew's desire to receive. And so the amount of that astrological influence is lessened, because his desire to receive is lessened. And therefore the chametz is not affected by that intense desire to receive, drawing that astrological influence to the chametz, because the Jew doesn't own it, the non-Jew does. But yes, it must be in writing, and it must be in Hebrew.
Okie dokie, that didn't make me a happy camper, but okay.
Well, there's a number of locations you can sell chametz, and it's not a costly process, because they don't ask for payment. They do ask for donations, but they sell your chametz whether you make a donation or not. And that's not to imply that the issue is one of money for you. I don't know why you wouldn't be happy to sell your chametz and avoid the loss of the money you've paid for the chametz when you bought it.
That part is not the issue. I'm having to get out of my comfort zone for this. Normally, I sell my chametz to a non-Jew that's a friend of mine, and usually I just tell her to take all of it and use whatever she wants.
Well, that, That's not selling it. That's gifting it. And that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. As long as you don't... As long as you don't...
You don't get it back.
You don't get it back.
Okay.
Well, on the morning of the 14th of Nisan, we burn the chametz that we searched on the night of the 14th.
Okay, I do that.
And the words of what you say in Hebrew as part of that ritual is you are declaring that chametz, any chametz that you did not clean, that you did not see, that you are not aware of, but is within your confines, within your home, you are declaring it hefker, ownerless. You are declaring it non-existent. You are generating the concept of mind over matter.
Okay.
As long as you do a good faith effort to clean the chametz from your house on a physical level, you could have a loaf of bread in your refrigerator, but you've declared it ownerless and non-existent, and therefore it's not yours, and therefore it's not there. Mind over matter. And as long as you don't eat it afterwards, there is no effect. It's not there. It can sit in your refrigerator the whole week. Consider it sit in the cupboard the whole week. But it's not there. It's an illusion. Now, nobody wants to take that chance because how strong is your mind over matter tool? But if you want to gift your chametz to your friend, go ahead and do so. It's out of your house and it's not yours, and you've declared anything that you are not aware of, that you haven't seen, you're declaring it ownerless and non-existent. The main issue is not to take it back. So I'm back to being a happy camper.
I'm a happy camper. It doesn't take very much to make me a happy camper.
Good.
I didn't want to have to get online and find somebody, and you know, the donation is not the big thing. It was having to use the computer. I'm not a big computer person. That's out of my comfort zone.
Well, if you go to your synagogue the Shabbat, like I know you do, you will find somebody who would do that for you. I'm sure your synagogue is buying the chametz, the rabbi of the chametz. And if he's not buying it, it's his response. You know, he can't be a good rabbi unless he is making sure you don't have chametz in your possession. He's not protecting you. He's not using his knowledge in a proper way. That's not to judge him because I don't know the man. And you're just giving part of the whole picture. So I'm not saying that permanently. But if in truth a rabbi is not accepting chametz and not giving advice of where to find the chametz or where to sell the chametz, he's really not doing his pulpit justice. That's my opinion.
That's a good opinion.
Does anyone else have a question?
Okay, I have a similar one. I have a new Jew friend, and last year I sold my chametz to her. And I also give her things, you know, like today I brought her two loaves of bread, or two loaves of challah, so that she would have time to eat it. Even though, you know, she's a non-Jew and she, you know, could eat it if she could. But anyway, she asked me if this year she could give it. Her son is in prison, and could she use that donation to give to her son's account in the prison that allows him to get toothpaste and other personal things? And I told her, I said, well, I guess so. I'm not going to take the money back. So, but just remember that when I actually give you the money, when we make the contract, that the food that I have put aside, the dry goods I have in a clean garbage can that I only use that far. Nothing else goes in it. Just that's what I put my comments every year. You know, it's things like maybe I might have a cake mix left or canned goods that have flour and that kind of thing in it, and that haven't been opened. And and then other things like new flavorings or something that I bought when I went to New Orleans that have alcohol in them. I put them in an ice chest, just for the purpose of storing it, you know. But anyway, is it okay that I said, sure, use it how you feel you need to use it, because I'm not going to take the money back.
But you haven't sold your chametz. You're planning to use that material after Pesach. Now, if you're going to not
but you buy it back, don't you? But I don't ever take the money back.
That we're talking over each other. I'm not hearing you properly.
Okay.
So
these are foods in my pantry.
Right, and you use
that
it
has
after.
Been opened.
And you use it after. My question is, do you use it after Passover?
Yes.
And you do have a Hebrew written contract with her, do you?
Yeah, I do. I do write whatever the amount is. And then on the container that I put the foods in, I have a note card taped to it. Comment sold. Sold.
Yes, I understand
what
that.
Getting it.
But there
it has
is
to
not
be
a written contract with her that says she owns that. You have a verbal contract with her. And in my opinion, you haven't sold the chametz. And we have spoken frequently of things that have happened to you over you and Tony.
Well, I give her the money. I give her the money, and I give her a little paper that says I'm selling it to her. It's just I never ask for the money back. And then until the time is over,
the paper you give her, is it in Hebrew?
I'm sorry, what?
The paper you give her that she signs and you sign, is it in Hebrew or English?
It's in English because she doesn't know Hebrew. She's a non-Jew.
What I'm saying is, in my opinion, you haven't sold your chametz. And so when you start to use it, you have some chaos that happens to you, and we've spoken about that, and I wasn't aware that that was the technique you were using to sell your chametz. What I would recommend you do is give her the same donation, but sell your chametz online to one of the rabbis who promote that. If you need to know who they are, just send me an email and I'll give you names. But
that is
selling the chametz, whereas you're making a donation to a person, to a poor person, and follow through with the same, you know, way you've been doing it. telling her you're selling it to her so that she doesn't lose, you know, she doesn't feel like she's receiving charity, but she's doing you a good service, a good mitzvah. But that would be a better approach for selling it. Or you can do it the way you've always done it, but don't use any of that material until after Shavuot.
After Shavuot, not after Passover?
No, after Shavuot. If you have some you don't hear me if you're talking. So do you want me to answer you? Do you want me to discuss this? Or, you know, what are you telling me? I realize that it's uncomfortable what I'm describing to you.
No, it's not uncomfortable, Hanok. It isn't. And when you hesitate, I think you're finished talking and we're carrying on a conversation.
Well,
I sell my
soulmate
to you 1 year.
I wasn't finished, and I apologize.
Okay.
If you have chametz in your possession over Passover, that chametz receives the astrological influences of Mars. And it's only from the light of the organus that comes on Shavuot, where you have built your vessel, that can remove that influence of Mars on that chametz. So if you have the chametz in your possession, it's going to be, as Rabbi Berg said, it's going to be an atomic bomb in your system, in your world. And while you can't, generally, you can't see cause and effect for that happening, the chaos that comes into your life is very much related to that, because it's very large chaos associated with owning the chametz because of the influence of Mars at the full moon period, the Passover period of Nisan. And that's why I'm recommending you should continue to do what you've been doing with this woman, because it's actually tzedakah that you're doing. You're giving someone who needs the money a particular gift of tzedakah. But you're not getting the effect from selling the chametz, again, in my opinion, because you don't have a written contract in Hebrew, which the people in the, those people who do it online generally do. All of the synagogues that I know where they have bought chametz, they have a written contract and they sell it, and there's a set amount that the rabbi agrees to with the other person. And literally those people come into the synagogue and open up the storage lockers to see what they have bought during Passover, because this is very serious issues.
Well, this is the first time I've ever heard of going all the way to Shavuot. I've always heard that you had read that you had to wait until nighttime after the eighth day.
If you sell your chametz properly, then you can open it up right after Passover.
Well,
if you haven't sold your chametz properly, then that chametz is still yours. And the astrological influence is coming based on your desire to receive. And that material, that chametz, eaten between Passover and Shavuot, is going to be like an atomic bomb in your world. and it will bring a lot of chaos, God forbid. But if you sell it properly, then the chametz coming back right after Passover, you go ahead and use it because you didn't own it during Passover. And so that atomic bomb doesn't happen.
Well, see, I go over a week after Passover because I don't have time to get it back in. I don't have time to bake challah, you know, because always it's just a few days. And we've kind of gotten used to the routine of the matzah, and I usually have food that I've cooked for Passover and in the freezer that I've prepared for Passover. So we continue until we finish our food, which is a lot of times a whole week, definitely a whole Shabbat, before I'm able to, you know, to get some things back in.
I do understand.
Okay.
I'm not sure that, from what you've just said, I'm not sure that you understand.
Well, I've been doing this for 25 years, so it'll have to register. I certainly didn't get that from any of your handouts, so I'm going to have to go back and reread, I guess.
The one that is the cleaning for Passover at the bottom where we talk about selling chametz, I believe you'll find it in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I used to sell to Rabbi Rudinsky in Houston with a letter and a check, you know.
Right. And then he would sell it to a non-Jew with a Hebrew contract. So you didn't own that chametz. But last year, as an example, if you did what you've just described, the chametz that came back was chaotic creation for you. And if you think back what happened between Shavuot, or actually between after Passover, and when you use that, you looked at the chaos that took place in Iyar and in Sivan and Tammuz and Av, because you never know the timing of the chaos. I think you'll remember that it was pretty chaotic in those winter months and the summer months. Now, my memory isn't perfect either.
Well, I keep an index card and I write. Keep a log on what happened each day, day one, day two, day three, you know, and so I am able to look back on what happened for each, you know, for each. I've done that for 3 years, so I have the cards up to 3 years, so
okay.
I'll be able to go check.
Okay.
Certain months. See, I don't feel like I've had a lot of chaos. Every time I've come up, something's happened. I mean, it's, you know, like, okay, I was told I had a nodule, you know, and I needed a biopsy. Okay, came back benign, and the endocrinologist said, it's not a nodule. I don't know why they think you have a nodule. I mean, that's kind of the way things have been been going. But anyway, I don't need to carry on. I understand what you're saying, but I'll go back and reread. But I will have to continue with my little lady because I think she's, you know, kind of expects it.
Right. And it's a mitzvah to do it. So that's why I suggest that you continue. But
what happens to someone who can't get the comets out? Let's say, I do remember, probably 90s. That one Passover, I was sick, fever and all, but I had done everything, you know, prepared all my food, but I wasn't able to do anything for 4 days during Passover because of the fever. And Tony, and at that time my grandson was living with us. I mean, they managed, because of the preparation I'd done before. But today I was thinking about what happens when you get to the point where you can't move the chametz out, or you can't truly prepare for Passover. Your contract, I mean, the foods have to stay in the pantry. What does a person do in that situation?
When you say you can't move it out, if that chametz is in your pantry, it's taking in the energy of Mars in Nisan. It's taking in that atomic energy.
Even,
and if you
move
it before Shabbat,
even if that person was sick or gets too old to do it.
There's two aspects to judgment. There's soft judgment and harsh judgment. The strict letter of the law says, yes, exactly what I said. Is God merciful? Is Hashem merciful? Yes, of course he is. So there will be an angel who pleads that he shouldn't be as severe with that person because that person couldn't do it for a reasonable reason. But do you want to make sure? Do you want to take that risk that Hashem is merciful? Remember, the month of Iyar is the gematria of the Pei and the Vav together is 86. It's the month of judgment. The month of Nisan is the month of war. This is the period we're dealing with. Yes, Hashem is merciful. Does that mean he's merciful for this person? Is this person using up the energy that he has for the world that is coming in order to balance and have Hashem's mercy? You know, we don't see the whole picture. So maybe the person has sweetened judgment, or maybe they don't. I wouldn't want to take the chance. I would lock up the pantry. I would put a paper on the pantry that said it was sold. I don't have to move it. You know, I can have a box of matzah sitting on the counter. Doesn't have to be in the pantry. Yes, that's not wonderful because it might attract ants or insects or whatever. But, you know, people do what they have to do. Look, and there's a lot of Jewish souls that don't follow the laws of Passover, as we know. They consider themselves secular and not religious, and that's, you know, something they don't do. And if you look at the world, you don't see that they have any greater chaos than anybody else. Because we don't see the whole picture. We only see the illusion. Are there any other questions?
I have another question. What if when you're doing your birth sign, that part of your birth sign ends up being Mars? Do you get greater chaos because that's in your sign and because this is the month with Mars? Do you get double the amount?
No, you don't get double the amount. You are born in the month of Aries. You're born in the month of Nisan because that's your tikkun. And being born in the month of Aries, the month of Nisan, you have a correction. And you have many corrections. You have the correction for the day of the month. You have a correction for the week of the month. You have a correction for the month. You have a correction for the year that you were born. You have other corrections, all related to mistakes that you made in previous lives. So if you're born in the month of Aries, the correction for the month of Aries is to stop butting your head against the wall. Because the month of Aries is all about the ego that makes you stubborn. But you also have the month of Aries, the month of Nisan, and elsewhere in a 12 zodiac chart. So you have other aspects of Tikkun, and it's all built into your Hebrew astrology. But it's not anymore. Doesn't mean because you're born in Aries that you have greater tikkun than somebody born in Iyar or somebody born in Sivan or somebody born in Kislev. Each month is a mikveh of its own design, of its own energy. You have to cleanse yourself, which is the meaning of mikveh. You're born in that month, that's part of your tikkun. And generally speaking, the last lifetime that completes your tikkun is when you're born in Pisces. It's not always true, but generally speaking, if you're born in Pisces, what is the tikkun of Pisces is to develop an ego. Bring yourself back to balance from the idea that you've gone through the other 11 mikvahs, the other 11 months of cleansing, and now in Pisces, you have to bring yourself back to the center point because you've lost your ego. It's not important to you. Somebody wants to humiliate you. Somebody wants to, in public, make you seem foolish and uninformed and all the different things that Pisces go through. The tikkun in Pisces is to develop sufficient ego to bring you back to balance. And when that is accomplished, there's no reason for you to come back. And so generally speaking, people who are born in the month of Pisces, this is their last lifetime. Now, it could be their last lifetime and their tikkun is totally complete, or it could be their last lifetime in the sense that they haven't completed it and they're going to be split into six parts. I hope that was clear.
That was clear. Thank you.
Any other questions? You all have a beautiful evening.
Okay, tomorrow, thank you.
Tomorrow morning at 8, we will take control of the month of Sivan, 8 o'clock Pacific time. And at 4:30, we will have advanced reincarnation class. And at 7 o'clock, we will have a Zohar class. Shalom to all.
Okay, shalom. Thank you.